Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a good day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to come together, to fellowship around the word, Lord, to fellowship with you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the sweetness of your spirit this morning in the songs and the praises. And Lord, may all be pleasing to you. May you guide us in the furtherance of this service, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us revelation, Father. Lord, that you would hold us from saying anything that you don't want said. And Lord, that you would motivate us to speak everything that you want said. Lord, that you would just have your way. Lord, we just commit each one to you. Lord, ask your blessings upon them, those that are here, those that are not able, as we commit all to you, giving you the thanks and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. We greet you this morning. And we're happy to be here. We thank the Lord for every opportunity we have to come together. Even though sometimes it works on our nervous system. But we're always happy to come together and have the fellowship together. And so we have a few things on our heart this morning, and I'm going to try to get right into it. But I do want to mention, I heard Brother Michael say something about the building, but I wanted to say also that I really appreciate the hard work that he's put in. You know, he's done a lot all by himself, and it's hot out there, I know, and he's taken days off from work. He's comes home in the evening, and we tried to help him a little bit, but I'm not able to go every evening, and then so he's really put a lot into it. And then also I want to say on the website, he's put a lot of time into the website and keeping the messages up and everything. And so he told me this morning that he's getting a lot of hits there. And so we're thankful for that. And we thank God for his mercy and grace. And we know that God is the one who's doing it. We know that he's the one who is calling his bride. He's the one that's sealing her. He's the one that's doing it all. And so, I wanted to mention also that Wednesday and next Sunday, Brother Goomba will be ministering, and we will want you to be in prayer. We'll be looking forward to that. And so, we really enjoyed last Wednesday night, and I got a real blessing from the message. And so we want to just continue always. We ask you to be in prayer for the minister, whoever is be ministering, that God will just help him to say what he once said. And that's the simplicity of it. We want to say what he once said. And so now we're in this message in Christ revealed in his own word. Christ revealed in his own word. And so as we've hit some things, we've kind of gone... covered a lot of ground to off of maybe just a paragraph that he's saying here in this book, but I don't want to get in too big a hurry, and I want to spend a little time on some of these thoughts that he's saying. And so this morning I'm taking for a subject the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible, Brother Branham said, the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we believe that those seven thunders were not written, that they had to be spoken. And so, Brother Branham makes statements along those lines, and sometimes it sounds contradictory. Sometimes it sounds like he's saying it one way, he's saying it another way. And so, you pray for me this morning that I rightly divide it, because I know it's a razor edge. I know it's a fine line, but this is what I have on my heart this morning. And I want to read a small quote here. This is out of Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, and this is where I got my title, not my subject this morning, but my title. And he said, "And now, since we have recognized it, now we sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, that's out of this message Christ revealed in his own word. And so I just wanted to bring that back around so that you know I hadn't forgot where the title came from and what it is that we're after. Now we have recognized it. Now, because this is the recognizing time. This is the time that we're able. He said if Luther would have continued, if he could have continued, he couldn't, but if he could have, he would be right here. If Wesley would have continued, he would be right here in this revelation. He said if Pentecost would have continued, they would be right here. But they didn't. They didn't live long enough. And so, and then everything that was around that, they denominated and they died off, spiritual death. And the spiritual seed, the elect, they didn't live long enough in the flesh to come on to the real revelation of it, the fullness of it. And so Brother Branham's going to mention that very fact a number of times this morning. I want you to hold to it. Just look at it closely. And we're going to begin in paragraph 41. He said, now notice, now we come back and we've got to have something another that we have to hold on to. Something has got to be a tie post. In other words, it's an ultimate. And everyone must have an ultimate or an absolute. And I preached on it one time years ago on an absolute. A place that's the last word. And that's what we have today. We have the absolute. Brother Adam said in Christ the mystery of God revealed, we have the devil's answer. He's always, that's what he's always done. He's made a question to confuse. He had a question that confused Eve. And so he confused her, and she corrected him, but then he kept coming back with more word, and then just one word off, and he confused her. So she had the wrong answer. And so, but when he came to Christ, he had the answer. He had the answer then, and Satan was foiled. He was stopped right there because Christ had the answer. And so then, immediately then, once the Spirit was poured out, there began being a falling away. And that falling away went into the Dark Ages, and that falling away went until it was time for that resurrection to begin, that resurrection of the Word to begin back again. And so it was promised to come back today that we would have the absolute. We would have the fullness of it. And they had an absolute for their day, but they didn't have the fullness like we have it today. So, see, that's the last word. Like an umpire at a ball game. See, he's the ultimate. See, and the traffic light is an ultimate. See, it's the ultimate. Whatever it says, that's what you got to do. And so, if you disobey it, then you got a chance. You're going to get a ticket. And it don't matter. It's going to be just what that police officer sitting out there. He's the ultimate. He's going to say, this is right, this is wrong, whatever it is, he's going to get it. I remember sometime a few years back, I was getting off in Concord over there, and I came up, and they rerouted the traffic. They're doing it on a lot of busy intersections now. When you cross the bridge, they reroute it, and you're going the wrong direction is what we used to do, so that the traffic can move more freely. And so it's a good thing. And so I came up to the stop sign, and so I was turning left, which in America, you can turn right on red. If the light's red, you can turn right on red because that's the flow of the traffic. And so in my mind, the flow of the traffic was left and you could not turn right. So I thought I could go on red because that was a one-way. It's a one-way street, so you're only going that way. Well, there just happened to be a trooper coming right off the ramp with me, and he seen me and he pulled me over and he wrote me a ticket. And I said, this is the one-way. It's a one-way street. He said, that don't matter. He said, you cannot turn left on a red light. And I said, well, you can turn right if it's one way. And he said, it doesn't matter. And so he gave me the ticket. I had to go to court, had to pay the ticket. But I looked it up. I looked up the law. And in some states, you can turn left on a one-way street, on a red light. In North Carolina, you cannot do that. That's the law. And so that was the ultimate. And so I paid the ultimate price. I paid the price because the ultimate said, you can't do that in this state. I could go to another state, do the exact same thing, and be okay. But that was the law. That's just like the word of the age. What Luther did in his age, it won't work today. What Wesley did, it won't work. What Pentecost did, it won't work today. They had an ultimate in their day, but it was a partial revelation was their ultimate. And that's all they could hold on to. Brother Branham said when Luther went out there, he smoked his cigars and he drank his beer and all the things that he did. God didn't have any problem with it. He didn't have any problem with it because in that time, that's all that he had. That's all he had. He just had so much revelation. Sanctification hadn't been come back yet. They had it. They had it there at Pentecost, but now it had been lost. Now they didn't have it. So he went right on in the traditions and the cultures of his country, and he smoked and he drank and he did all those things, but he had a revelation for that day, and he stood against the Catholic Church. But then when it came over in Wesley's day, that wouldn't work anymore. That was done. It was over. It was finished. So that God is the one who sets it in every age. And God, He places it right where it's supposed to be for the time and the season. And it's in this message we're going to get to it. Brother Goomba's talked about it two or three times when he's talking about mislocating and misplacing the word. Some of those quotes, he has them in here, and I think they're in another message also. So when you go buy a car, see, you got to have an ultimate. Everybody's got a different preference, a different thing that they want. So is it with the Christian living. There has got to be an ultimate, see? And every denomination is an ultimate to their believers. But to me, and to the ones that I hope I'm leading to Christ, and by Christ, the Bible is our ultimate. No matter, because God said, let every man's word be a lie, and mine truth. See? And I believe the Bible is God's ultimate, no matter what anyone else says. It's the ultimate. Now, he's making it, he's emphatic in what he's saying. Very clear. The Bible is God's ultimate. So the Bible is not a book of systems. No, sir. It's not a book of systems, nor is it a code of morals. The Bible is not a book of systems. So many systems and so forth. No, sir. It is not a book of morals. No, sir. It is not. And a lot of people, that's how they look at religion. That's how they look at the Bible. That's how they look at God. That's how even they look at the message. You do this, you do that. You can't do this and you can't do that. And that defines God to them, or a Christian to them, is if you do this and don't do. If you do this and you don't do. That's what it comes down to. But that's not it. That's not it. It is a life. It's a literal life that is taken over your body and your mind and your heart and everything that you are. It's a life. It's a spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's something that has taken you over. And you are not the person that you used to be. Amen. Now that person that's living in there has full control. And it's not a book of codes and a book of systems and a book of you got to do this and do that and legalism and all of those other things. It's not that. It's a life. It's a literal life of Jesus Christ living in you. No, sir, it's not. Nor is it a book of history altogether, although there's a lot of history there. See, and neither is it a book of theology, for it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you'd like to read that, you who have your papers marking it down, Revelation chapter 1:1-3, as the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he goes to Revelation, the first chapter, and let's read it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and he signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So paragraph 52. So basing it on the scripture, Brother Branham is saying, so the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. See? And it was wrote by prophets. Hebrews 1:1. God, who in sundry times spake to the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last days speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, which was the prophets of all of them. See, put together. Jesus was all of it put together. Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah. Jesus was Isaiah. Jesus was Elijah. All that they were in him. I mentioned this the other day because this I had been reading it. I want to read it again. I hope it just sinks real deep. Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah. Jesus was Isaiah and Elijah. And all that they were in him. And all that you are and all I am is in him. Words. Witnesses of the Word. That's what we are. We're witnesses of the Word. It's the Word that's living in you, that's manifesting. And he is vindicating that Word that's living in you. That's what he's doing. He's vindicating it. And so he's vindicating it by accepting you and bringing you into his presence. And Brother Adam said, that's what God does with every prophet. That's what he does with Moses. He sent down the pillar of fire and vindicated that this was the voice of God. In other words, he was vindicating that God was using this man to talk. God was using this man to demonstrate and to prophesy and to bring forth the word, the manifested word of that day. That was exactly what happened to Brother Branham. What God was doing through him, God was vindicating his presence. You know, people sometimes get the wrong idea, and that's why Brother Branham was never trying to lift himself. He was never trying to stand up and say, I'm this, or I've done that, or I can do something. No, he was always backing up and saying, it's him, it's him, it's him, all the time. And God was coming down and vindicating that this was the voice, that this was the veil that God was hiding in. Brother Man said, that's why that the only supernatural being that was ever photographed in the history of the world and God identifying himself with a man. Amen. With a man. God was identifying himself that this is the one I'm speaking to. That this is the one that's telling you the truth. That this is the one I've given the revelation to. This is the one. Not nobody else. No matter how much people want to make it more than that, there's not another. There's only one. There was one Moses. And all of them were slaves. All of them were slaves. God raised up a prophet and he sent them down there and he began to deliver them out. He brought them out. And then all of a sudden, they see all the power of God. They see the great things that God has done. They've seen the Red Sea. They've seen the armies of Egypt destroyed right before their eyes. And they go on, they see God giving them food and water and all the different things that he's done. And then all of a sudden, those who murmured and cried and had no support for Moses, now all of a sudden, they're seeing all the blessings are flowing everywhere. Everything's going great. And now they're stepping up now. They want a part of the decision making. And so they come and tell Moses, says, you think you're the only one. You're not the only one. We're the elders of Israel. We're the elders of these people. We're a part of this thing too. You're not the only pebble on the beach. That was the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do today when any minister comes to that place where he thinks now that God has blessed him so much, he's walking in the blessings, he's enjoying the blessings because God had a voice, because God had a deliverer, because God brought something to the people, and now you want to have a say-so in it. We don't have no say-so in it. No, we're going to continue to lift up and thank God for what he did through that voice. And if God wants you to do something, then he's going to anoint you to go do it. And you're not going to come with that attitude and that spirit that I'm just like him. No, you're going to come just like him, a little bitty nobody that is just has one desire, and that's to say what he once said. That's just it. You just leave it right there. You don't need any glory. You don't need to be lifted up. See, it was all the prophets put together. Did I say that one more time? Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah. It was God all the time. It was God back there in the garden, and it was God in Abraham, and it was God in Moses, and it was God in every one of them prophets. It was God all the time. It wasn't just God in the last days. No, what happened in the last days was it was the fullness. It was the complete. It was all now the putting the final pieces in the puzzle. So it's not a book of systems, a code of morals, ethics. Neither is it a history book or a book of theology. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. God himself revealed from word to flesh. From word to flesh. See, God is the word, rather. See, Jesus being the flesh, it's the revelation. How God the Word was manifested in human flesh and revealed to us. And that's why he becomes a son of God. He's a part of God. You understand that, see? The body is part of God. So much that it's his son. And so then here, he's talking about this, he drops this in. And I really wanted to skip it, maybe get to come back to it later. Because I got a lot, and I might hold you over a few minutes today, and as a matter of fact, in the message, I think it's in the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, "I know I told you another half hour," he said, "but can I just have one more half hour?" So, you know, that was another long message that he had. He said, "But can I just have one more half hour?" So, but it's just so good. You know, the more time you spend in here, there's more and more and more and more that you want to say, and it's just hard to get it all in an hour and a half or 2 hours. And so let's just try to read it right quick. A son, see, as the Catholic puts it, as who puts it? The Catholics, as the Catholics say it. This is how the Catholics say it when they're talking about the Godhead. And so that's the context that he's talking about, as the Catholics say it. See? Eternal Son. Why? What? Because why? They got a Trinitarian doctrine that they started in 325 AD. They started a doctrine that divided God up into three pieces. And so it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So they made three persons out of him, and all three persons are co-equal. They're co-everything. And so it doesn't even make sense. So it doesn't make sense when you look at nature or anything else. So a son, as the Catholic puts it, eternal son. All the rest of the churches, why? Because they believe the lie. And the word don't even make sense, see? There cannot be eternal and then be a son. Because a son is something that's begotten from. And the word eternal, see, it cannot be eternal. He can be a son, but he cannot be an eternal son. See? No, sir. It cannot be an eternal son. Right? So, now, but he is the son. So much that all the word that was in Jeremiah, all the word that was in Moses, and all those words, like he said, they speak of me. Huh? Who did they speak of? They spoke of him. All the true divine revelation of the word was wound up into one human body. And God put flesh around it, see? And that's the reason why he was called Son. The reason he refers to Father. Why, it's just so simple, see? If you just let God pour it down into your mind, see, God revealed in a body of flesh. So, what was inside the body of flesh? That's what I don't want to leave this paragraph without that. What was inside of that body of flesh? It was the eternal God. It was eternal. It wasn't something that was created. It wasn't something that had a beginning. It wasn't something that came along in some point in time. But it was eternal life. It was eternal life that was living in the Son. That eternal God had came down and was dwelling inside that fleshly body. That was the creation. Not the God inside. The God inside was eternal. But the eternal God came down into creation. That's what he came down into. And it was a fleshly body. And it was the fullness of God came in that body to manifest the fullness of God. God revealed in the body of flesh, notice, revealed from flesh or from word unto flesh. St. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh, see, and dwelt among us. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, and they sung, in verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's right. So, to do what? To take the book and open the seals. Now that's the great thing about this day and hour that we live in, because we're the ones to witness these things. Paragraph 55, Christ revealed in his own word. Now notice this Bible, some of them said, well, it's done this, it's done that. But let me tell you something. Let's go into the history of the Bible just a minute. See where it come from. It's written by 40 different writers. 40 men wrote the Bible over a span of 1,600 years apart, and at different times predicting the most important events that ever happened in the world's history. And many a times, hundreds of years before it happened. There is not one error in the entire 66 books. No. No author but God himself could be so accurate. Not one word contradicts the other. So, saying that, he's laying a basis. And he spent a lot of time, and I cut a lot of that out, talking about the absolute, the ultimate, comparing history, comparing the medical field, how that back in the day, and the scientists, how that back in the day, they said, one scientist said, if you could get a ball rolling 30 miles an hour, it would lift off. Huh? It would lift off. It couldn't, gravity couldn't hold it down. And now we got cars that can do over 200 miles an hour and stay on the ground. We got planes that can leave the ground at less than 200 miles an hour. Less than 200 miles, they can go into the air. So that you wouldn't listen. He said you wouldn't go back to that. He said back in George Washington day, he had a cold or something. I don't know what it was. But anyways, they pulled his toenail and bled a pint of blood out of his toe. He said, you think they'd refer back to that now? No. Why? It's come to a higher order. Amen. You're not going to go back now. Brother Branham said the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. If it won't work, it won't work. Amen. If it won't work today, then there's a reason why it won't work.
That's right.
It was for another day. It was for another hour. It was for that moment in time that God was doing what he did there. See, now like the seven seals, someone kept saying to me, the Lord will speak to you, Brother Branham, when these seals are revealed and will tell us how to get closer to God and how to do it. Okay? Now what's he talking about here? Now he's done said the seven seals. See, he said the seven seals. He said the seals, right? And he said God and how to do it. I said, no, sir, it can't be. Because the Bible, the seven seals on it had the seven mysteries hid. And it was already wrote. But they didn't understand what it was. See? Watch how they plowed along with that, being baptized in Jesus' name. See? That wasn't it. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See all those things, how it was? Because there's many Jesuses. I got several friends here on earth named Jesus, minister friends. It isn't that. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. See? No author but God could be so correct. Now, let's just see how this Bible was written. And he wants to spend some more time on that, and I'm trying to cut it out. But let's just say this for a moment. Amen. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they came down and they baptized the people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that had the revelation. Immediately, that revelation was lost. It wasn't too long. In 325 AD, then they came and it changed and they began to use titles to baptize the people. So all of those, now if the baptism was going to save you, then we had thousands and thousands of converts through the ages that had the wrong baptism. They had the wrong baptism because they had lost the revelation of it. And so it wasn't doing him any good. So there was no way. Now, if you're going to go with that idea that all of those people could be saved when they were all baptized into a Catholic church, that wouldn't work. But think now, how long? So now we went from Pentecost to the 1900s, okay? So that means over 1,000 years, this revelation was misplaced. Over 1,000 years, maybe 1,500 years, whatever it was misplaced. And it was lost. And so they were going right along, and they were trying to fulfill the Word of God, but yet they had it wrong. Think, just hold that. See? And so many other things was just like that. Many other things. They didn't have serpency right. They didn't have these different things right. They didn't have the rapture right. They didn't have different things. Paragraph 61. But not one word in the Bible contradicts the other. Not one prophet ever contradicted the other one. There was everyone perfect. And when one come in and did prophesy, that real prophet raised up and called him down. Then it was made manifest, see? So the Bible is the Word of God to all true believers. Now, he said back up here that those seals that, you know, he said, someone kept saying to me, the Lord will speak to you, Brother Branham, when these seals are revealed and will tell us how to get closer to God and how to do it. And I said, no, sir, it can't be. Because the Bible, the seven seals on it, had the seven mysteries hid. Now, in my understanding, when he says the seven seals and the seven mysteries, he's saying the seven seals had the seven thunders hidden. Now, that's what I'm thinking that he's saying. Maybe that's not what he's saying. Maybe he's talking about the mysteries of the seven church ages. But either way, you put it where you will. Let's go on. Let's go to the message, the unveiling of God. Now, I wanted to skip some of this, but I'm going to read the first paragraph because I got to thinking about this, Brother Goomba. You mentioned this the other day, and I used to mention it a lot, and I haven't mentioned it in a long time. It brings back the same thing. In every congregation, you have make believers, unbelievers, and the believers. It's been in every congregation. And you find them all the time. And some of them make out like they're believers. That's the worst type, see? And then you have those that are actually unbelievers. He won't bother you. He'll just walk away and shake his head. But those who are make believers, say they're believers, that's the kind, see? And that's the kind you have to watch, is those make believers. And then there's some genuine believers. You see them three there. That's right. And my thought was this. There has been a separation going on. This separation of these three kinds of believers, it's been going. It's been going on. He was separating. He has been separating, separating. And I think it's still out there throughout the churches. I think that is exactly. But I'm wondering about the elect. And I know that you can have it. You can have it and you will have it. But the word is narrowing that down. Amen. It's narrowing that down. It's bringing it down to that elect. And the word is the thing that's separating. Amen. And that's the reason they go out. And that's what's happening. We're just not talking about a gathering here, but we're talking about the whole message as a whole. We're watching the people go out. We're watching them go out for this reason, that reason, one excuse, another excuse, and I'm thinking of a brother I've been talking to that has went away because of the cloud and different things, and I got to thinking yesterday and today that I want to ask him, one of the questions I want to ask him is, where are you now? You left this because discrepancy. You think the discrepancies. But where are you now? Are you going to a denomination? Are you going to some other church? Or have you gave up on the idea of God altogether? And so, because if you have gone from this to a denomination, then you have went into death.
Yes.
Brother Branham said, there is absolutely no life in there. There's no life. And if there's a discrepancy here with all of the revelation and all of the supernatural that is surrounding this message, and then you can go to a denomination that does not have any supernatural, that doesn't have any revelation, that doesn't have any of those things, it automatically reveals where the problem's at.
Yes, sir.
The problem's not in the message that you have found a discrepancy. The problem is in you, there's a discrepancy in you that you could go set under a lie.
That's right.
Because Satan is telling you that this is a lie. When no matter how much, you can find the same thing in the Bible that people are complaining about here. You can find the same. You want discrepancies? You can find them. And I think I mentioned this the other day. A brother told me, I was talking to him the other day, the electrician up there, and he said, you know, the Bible says that Saul fell on his sword. And then another place, I hadn't went and checked it out. He said another place it says Saul fell on his spear. So which is it? Did he fall on the sword or did he fall on the spear? It's two different things, you know. It's two different things. Sometimes it sounds like he's saying one thing and he's saying something else. You just watch. Just watch. You're not going to outsmart God. You're not going to outsmart God. That's why Brother Michael mentioned it this morning. He said, except you come as a child. When you come as a child, you come in simplicity. You come in simplicity and you are seeking the answer. You're not coming with all of the answers. You're coming seeking the answer. You're asking God for that revelation, not that you figured it all out. But the random said, when it comes to the place that we can figure it all out, he said, we missed it. We missed it. Notice then we become a part of him. As you are the veil that veils him, you're part of him. As long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God. See, that's right. Paragraph 271. Now, as it is written, ye are written epistles. The Bible said now, what is an epistle? Is a written word. And you are the written. In other words, watch him. What is the prophet? He's the divine interpreter of the word. He's interpreting this scripture. Ye are written epistles. He's going to completely turn this scripture around from the way you've always read it and looked at it. He's going to spin it completely around. See? Now, what is an epistle? It's a written word. And you are the written. In other words, you read it like this. You are written epistles. See, or you are the word that has been written, made manifest. So there's a big difference there. There's a big difference. Because I can remember as a young Christian, when I come in the message when I was 21, and this scripture right here meant to me that you go out and you do something, whatever God's leading you to do, that's what Peter and them, they went out, they were just working for the Lord, doing this and this and this, and then people were sitting there writing down everything they'd done. And that's how much understanding I had about it. But then we get over here in this message right here, and the prophet is bringing us into a deeper revelation. And he's saying, no. It's not like that at all. It was already written.
Yes.
It was already written what you were going to do next week.
Amen.
It was already written before the foundation of the world.
Yep.
You went out and prayed for somebody. You fasted. You did this. Whatever you did. Whatever God used you for, that's not being written down now. That was written down before the foundation of the world. God had that planned out, and God brought everything together for you to fulfill that manifestation of the word in this day right here. See, in other words, you'd read it like this. You. It said, you are written epistles. You are the word that has been written, made manifest. Nothing can be added to it. Huh? Nothing can be added to it. Now remember, we started out, this is the complete revelation. This is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. You can't add nothing and you can't take nothing away. See, so you are written epistles. You are the word. See, nothing can be added to it. You can't say, I'm a written epistle and living some other kind of something. But what this has already wrote, what this has already wrote. See, and Brother Branham pats his Bible. Because nothing can be added or taken away. Now, he's clarifying it. That the Bible, is this the Bible right here? He's declaring that this is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And you can't add nothing to this, and you can't take anything out of this. Nothing. Complete. Finished. That's what he's saying. Everyone has always come to me. See, now this is the same thing he said in Christ revealed in his own word. So, the other way he said, there he said, somebody came to me and said. And he said the seven seals. Now, listen how he puts it this time. Everyone has always come to me and said, Brother Branham, them seven thunders that the voice thundered. Now, what's he talking about now? Is he narrowing this down? Is he narrowing it down? And he said, write it not, see, but close it up. And he said, that'll be seven thunders that will be revealed in the last days, see? Seven thunders. Now, how many times, let's just keep track of this right here, all right? Everyone has come to me and said, Brother Branham, them seven thunders, that's one time he identified, seven thunders. The voice that thundered. Now, that has to be talking about the thunders, right? The voice that thundered, right? That's two. And he said, write it not, but close it up. We know that's Revelations 10, 1 to 4. We know that's talking about the seven thunders. Is that right? Yep. Write it not and close it up. So that we're going to call that just because we're identifying what he's talking about. Now, if you want to say he's talking about something else, you want to say he's talking about the six seals, or he's talking about the seven seals, whatever you want to say he's talking about, he is saying he's talking about the seven thunders. And he said, there'll be seven thunders that'll be revealed in the last days. See? And these seven thunders, there it is again. We're up to five. That'll tell us. Now, don't that sound real good? But watch what you're talking about when you say that. Now, he's talking about the seven thunders. And the scripture said, see that you write it not. Now, which scripture is that? Which scripture is that? Is that Revelation 10? And what's that scripture referring to? It's referring to the seven thunders. Is that right? It's referring to the seven thunders. So that scripture is nowhere else in the whole Bible but one place. So it's only talking about one thing. See? Don't write that, but it's to be sealed up in the book until the last days. See? Now someone has been, many has been saying to me, and theologians said, Brother Branham, if the Lord God, with your experience, that the Lord has given you for his people, humbly saying this now, you would be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word, if God has manifested. See? What God has manifested through you in your life and your ministry, you would be eligible to write a Bible yourself. And that's exactly what I always believed. I always believed that this message is our Bible. This message is what God wrote to us. It was spoken word. It was spoken word. And then it became in print. And it became our Bible. And it sounds like he's saying exactly the opposite of that. You would be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word, if God has manifested. I said, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me. Now, here's the problem right here. He wants the prophet to say what he's saying so he can misinterpret what the prophet is saying and make the prophet out to be a liar. So he can take the same scripture that the prophet's using on him and prove the prophet wrong. Because the Bible says you cannot add to it and you cannot take away from it. And if you take that literally, then the New Testament could not have ever come into existence. Because in the Old Testament it said, don't you add to this and don't you take away from it. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation says. Don't you add to this, don't you take away from it. That's exactly what Paul said. Don't you add to this, don't you take away from this. See, I said that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me, and I said, but you see, I couldn't do that. He said, why couldn't you do? Why couldn't you? You have all the qualifications. See? That's just like to me, that right there, you have all, here's a man who is speaking with his lips. That Brother Branham, you have the qualifications to write a Bible. You are a prophet. You are all this. To me, that's Judas. Right there. He walked right with Jesus. He walked right with him so close and almost believed it. And he's even speaking it with his lips, but he don't believe it. And you know he don't believe it because he was trying to trap him. But he was identifying the very thing. The very thing that we believe. And he said, well, then wouldn't them seven thunders... You see, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation to be given to some man? Look at there. Now he's identified it two more times, hasn't he? That's eight times. Is he talking about the seven thunders or is he talking about something else? I said, no, sir. That would be adding something to it or taking something from it. It's all revealed in there. And the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. Now, let's back up and let's just read it again. And he said, well then, them seven thunders, you see, said, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation give to some man? How many of us have actually believed in some time in our Christian walk or studying this message, believed exactly that. That the seven thunders is the revelation give to some man. I guess every one of us. Every one of us have believed that. And the prophet's saying, no, that's not right. He says it can't be because the scripture says you cannot add to this and you can't take away. I said, no, sir. It would be adding something to it or taking something from it. See, it's all revealed in there. In where? Right here. It's all revealed in there. It's all right here. It's all right here in this Bible. This is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all here. It makes me think, when Brother Branham was talking about the seventh seal, he says the one thing that he hasn't revealed, that he hasn't made known. And then he stopped and he said, but it's been revealed in every scripture. Every scripture, all the way through the Bible, he was revealing it and revealing it and revealing it. He was revealing the coming of the Lord. He was revealing the presence of God. That's what set that woman at the well. That's what set her on fire. He identified himself. He identified himself in the as the presence of God when he knew the secrets of the heart. She said, no man can do what you're doing. And we know when the Messiah comes, when God comes, this is what he'll do. Because he's the only one that can do it. It set a fire in her. And it set a fire today in the elect of this day.
That's right.
When you read it, you even go back there and read those old messages. And you hear him call out this one and that one and another one and another one. And it just stirs your heart. Because you know it's not a man. And you can sit there and you can listen to
You can listen to Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn or any of the rest of them, and you can hear them trying to do the same thing, and it just don't sound real. It just don't have that ring to it. And then to make sure that you don't get confused, Oral will say something like this. God told me if I don't raise $3 million in 2 weeks that He's going to kill me. He's going to take me out. It just don't ring a bell, does it?
Right.
No. No. That sounds like the devil after your money.
Yeah.
I think the best thing people would do is just say, praise God. Let's just wait and see if He does take you home. I ain't sending you my money. I wanted to see if God really told you that. But He got the money. He got the money. The devil, he's just so smooth. See, it's all revealed in there. And the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. Now, I got a couple quotes I'm going to read in the future here. But I want you to think about them right now. Brother Branham said he referred to the sixth seal mystery. The sixth seal mystery. And then he refers to the seal. The seal. And when he's talking about the seal, he's talking about the seventh seal. So he's dividing or separating the sixth seal mystery, which the first four seals was revealing all of the seven church ages. The fifth seal was revealing the souls under the altar and much more. And the sixth seal was the tribulation and where it was coming through the rest of the way. The seventh seal was only one thing. It was His coming.
Amen.
The seventh seal was revealing His coming. And so it was a mystery. It was hidden. It's still hidden. It's still hidden. It hasn't been revealed yet. I can say it just like He said it. It hasn't been revealed yet because they will never see it. They will never see it. It will never be revealed to them. It will never be made known to the public. It's only revealed to the elect. And so that's where it's at. And so if somebody comes and says, the seventh seal is not open yet, I'll just say, amen. You have just confessed that it hasn't been opened to you.
That's right.
It hasn't been opened up to you.
Amen.
But if you're speaking for me, the seventh seal has been opened.
Yes.
And the seven seals being manifested.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Amen.
The seventh seal is Him in His bride. It's all revealed in there. And the seven seals opened up the revelation. The seven seals opened the revelation of what that was. That's what it was. See, it's still in the Word. You see, you can't get out of that Word. It won't leave the Word. And God's Spirit will never leave the Word. It'll stay right with the Word, blinding some, and open the eyes of others. It always does that, see? That's the way it is. Paragraph 280. Now watch this. Where did He start? We started with written epistles, right? When He started this thought on adding and taking away. He started with written epistles, and then He said, they come to me, many have come to me and said, Brother Branham, you're able to write a new Bible. You're able to write the word of this age. God can give you the revelation and you can give it to the people and all of that. And Brother Branham said, no. You can't add to it and you can't take away. He said, it'll be a revelation gift to some man. Brother Branham said, no, that would be adding. No. I know most of you already know this, and so, but some of you may be thinking, you're messing up what I believed all these years. I don't know. I don't know where everybody's at on this. But one thing you know is, He's saying it, isn't He?
Amen.
He's saying it. He's the one who's saying it. He's saying this is the complete revelation. He's saying you can't add to it. He's saying it won't be given to some man.
Right.
That's what He says, word for word, what He said. Your written epistles read of all men. See, Or I translate that. Can he translate that? Why can he translate it? Because he's the voice of God. He's the voice of God translating, and he's telling this theologian that, no, he couldn't write another Bible because that would be adding to it. But now he's saying, I'm going to translate it. You know the unbeliever is struggling here. But the bride is able to switch back and forth, back and forth. I translate that. I turn it around this way. See? Just turn it around. Ye are written epistles that has been written. Praise be to God. Because you can't add nothing to it. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that now? You seeing why he's saying, no, that would be adding to it. That would be adding to it. You can't do that. No, let's just turn it around now. Ye are epistles that have already been written. Already been written. See, you can't add to this thing. God had it all. You know, everywhere you look, I was looking at a quote the other day, something in Scripture, and it's the same thing right here. It brings predestination perfectly. Everywhere you look in the message, sometimes you're not even thinking. You can be reading this, and you're thinking about what he's saying, but it's predestination. Absolutely. You cannot add to this thing. Why? Because God predestinated before the foundation of the world exactly. Exactly who was going to manifest this revelation. And exactly who was going to reject this manifestation. That's always been in every age. Cain could not have been anything else but Cain and rejecting the word of God. Judas couldn't be anything else but reject the message of the hour. He couldn't do it. The people of this day, same thing. Ye are epistles that has been written. Because you can't add nothing to it, see? That's rid of all men. Manifested word of God, in other words. That's what you are. That's what the bride is. She's the manifested word of God. I love it. I love to hear it. I love to read it. And I love to see it. I love to see it in his people. That's the thing. That's why it makes me wonder when somebody comes and says they don't see it. They don't see the manifestation of God yet. They don't in the bride. They see it in the prophet, but they don't see it yet anywhere here. It's here. Amen. It's the only place God is. Yep. It's in his bride. And he's hiding in there. Yes. He's hiding in there. And if you're supposed to stumble over it, he's going to let me stumble so that it will stumble you so that you will stay away from it. Amen. If that's what God wants. If you're not elected to it, then he's going to do something to keep you away from it. And if you are, you're going to recognize that there is a people on the earth. Listen to this now. There's a people on the earth that are living in the presence of God. They are walking with God every day of their life. And maybe they don't always have it clear in this carnal mind, but they got it clear down here. Because they're not being led by this up here. They're being led by what's in here. And they can't help it. And God is moving them. And sometimes God is letting things happen for people to think that they aren't even a Christian. You say, what? Oh, yeah. I always said this about Joseph and Mary. God had the ability to change the wedding date just a few days or weeks so that they would already be married and there would be no reproach on this woman being born out of this baby here being born out of wedlock. God didn't want that marriage to take place. God wanted that reproach to be there. There's always reproach on the word of God. There's always reproach on the elect of God. Always a reproach. You're not going to get away from it. If you want any street, you can go to these big message churches or you can go to these denominations. Go anywhere you want. But if you are walking in the revelation and God is revealing something somewhere to through anybody, then there's going to be a reproach.
Amen.
You can be listening to it every day and trying to share it with people. They're saying, no, he's, no. They're not even in the message. They don't believe everything that I believe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can learn something from somebody who don't believe everything that you believe.
Right.
Sometimes they might even be deeper on some things than you. You know, it just never occurred to me before, but what we're saying when we say that is, I have it all.
Yeah.
Because if this person doesn't have as much as me, then I'm not going to listen to them because I have it all. So there's nothing they can say that's going to help me. You would be surprised. You can learn something from your children. They can say something that will just make you think. You know, and you take their question sometime and put it with what you know in this message, and it can just be amazing, amazing. Sometimes, I wasn't in here this morning. Brother Michael told me that Autumn was talking to the children about Satan took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and the temptation and all of that and all of that. And so he said he didn't hear everything that was said, but he said one of the girls asked him, said, well, how did he get down? How did he get down? So sometimes in such simplicity, sometimes we read right over it. Sometimes we just look over things. And you know, and I'm not trying to make that to be anything, but what I'm saying is it's that simple. It's being able to think that simple, that God can reveal something. And when we come to that place where we can come as a child, then God can just lay it out there for us. That's why Paul said, I didn't come with you with enticing words. And I'm going to tell you what, it has to be simple for me. You come to me with enticing words. You come to me with intellect and you've lost me. I can't take it. I can't take it. And I'll admit it. I'll admit it. I'll admit many people way more intelligent than I am. And that's fine. I'm not jealous about it. I mean, I wish I had more, but I don't. And so I've moved on. From high school, I've moved on. I'm never going to be that person. I'm never going to be the book smart person. And I had a stepdad. And he wasn't book smart either. But that man had so much common sense. He had so much common sense. And he taught me so much. And that's the way. And there's nothing wrong with being intellectually smart if you can lay it aside when you come to the message. If you can lay it aside and let God reveal to you, then that's all fine. And then it can help you because you have a great memory. You remember all them things. You have a great knowledge. So much you can retain. All that's wonderful. That's what Paul had. But he laid it down and he only used what God gave him to use. And so we don't have to have it. We don't have to have it. And that's why it wouldn't do me any good to sit under an intellectual person because it would be a frustration to me all the time. I'd be constantly wondering, what are they saying? What's he saying? What's he saying? What's he saying? I just need it simple. You just say it just like this. You just say it the way he said it. Don't take the sentence and restructure it out and put big words in there. That won't work for me. You just say it just like this and keep it simple. You can be the most smartest man in the world. If you say it like this, I'm going to get it.
Amen.
It's when you rearrange it.
Yeah.
You rearrange it and you're trying to make it say something. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows what you're trying to make it say.
Right.
See, your epistles that have been written. Because you can't add nothing, see. Let me drop down. And John and Peter, to show it. When they went up there, they perceived. They were ignorant and unlearned. They had no education. But they taken notice that they had been with Jesus, see? And they were ignorant and unlearned. And they were written epistles, see, read that they had been with Jesus, because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ veiled in their flesh, manifested, made alive. Amen. Praise be to God. And so God has showed and proved that he can use intellect. He's proved and showed he can use a man that can't even write his name, that has no education, can't even sign their name. God can use either one of them. But every time he raised up the intellectual one, he had to lay down the intellect. Is that right? He had to lay that down. So then it was the ability to surrender to God. Because not every ignorant and unlearned man is a believer. That's not it either. It's surrendering to him. Like he was in Moses, when the word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. When it was in Jesus, it was God in flesh. See? Only thing he did was change his mask. Not his word, not his nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He changed from Noah to Moses. He changed from Moses to David. From David to Joseph. On down he come until the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See? Huh? What was it? That was him. That was God. That was Jesus. In every one of them prophets coming down, coming down, coming down. How? In part. It was in part. But it was him. It was him in there all the time, manifesting God, manifesting him. You can't write any of them off. You can't put Adam out of it because he failed. You can't put Jonah out of it because he went to somewhere else. You're not going to put anybody out because of any failures fleshly that they had. Or any other kind of way. Because God, if there's a seed in there, God uses that failure for his glory. For his honor. That's the difference. With the elect, they're never lost. No matter how much they fall, no matter how much mistake they make, no matter how wrong they are, God is going to bring them back. Yeah, they might have to say, repent, and they might have to start all over, and they might have to do a lot of things. It might not be glorious. It might not be a lot of fun. But the beauty of it is, at the end, that's a seed. And if it's a seed, nothing changes the seed. Nothing changes it. And if there's not a seed there, it don't matter how perfect you are. It don't matter how smart you are. It don't matter how much money you give and how much work you do and how much anything else you do. It don't matter. It ain't going to put you there. You might look like the best Christian there ever was. You might put your words together better than anybody puts them. You might always be the one who treats everybody just right, always got at hand, always just doing the right thing. But if there's no seed there. Brother Branham said, when you took God out of the equation, Israel was no different than any other nation.
That's right.
They were just as bad. They had their problems. They had their ups and downs. They had the world all around them. They had everything, anything that any other nation had. The only difference that Israel had is God.
That's right.
And we can say exactly the same thing.
Yes, sir.
There ain't no difference. You can line them up. You take the best Christians. Brother Branham said some of them can outshine us. Can outshine us in good works and zeal and the different things. He said the difference is God is with you. Brother, that's why every morning we thank God. Every night we thank God. Every day. We're thanking him all day long. In everything we're thanking him. See? He changed from Noah to Moses and from Moses to David and from David to on down till he come into the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, it's still the same God. Amen, amen. And I hope that gets through. See, it's the same God, but he just takes another veil. See, he puts on another veil. Now, I want you to catch something right here. Now, that he's talking about that fullness now coming in. And this has been a big thing. It hasn't been in a long time, because I think even the message churches that used to disagree with it, they don't know how to fight it, so they kind of verbally in their words agree with it, although rather they have the revelation only God knows. But it's been thought that everything had to get back to Pentecost, and that when the church age is closed and the Pentecostal age was over, that still the ultimate was Pentecost, because that was the fullness. And that's never been the fullness. That was never the fullness. That was always the part. That was, as soon as it was poured out, it was in part. That's the mind-boggling part of this thing, is everybody took it and they put it up here. This is it right here. The complete fullness was before Pentecost. The complete fullness was Christ himself. That's what went into the ground. That's what had to go in the ground. It was the seed word that went into the ground. They had a part of it, but he was all of it. He was all of it. So when we go back, when we're going back, we're not going back to Pentecost. We're going back to him. That's where we're going. He's still the same. That's not where we're going. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. That's what we have come back to, is to Christ himself. That's where we're at. That's where we live. It's still the same God. Amen. Amen. I hope that gets through. It's the same God, but it just takes on another veil. See, it puts on another veil. 283. And he did it in the reformers, taking on a veil. Taken on a veil, see, finally, until finally, it come down through the Lutheran age, down through the other age. Then finally, it comes out into the complete. See, just before it comes, a prophet arises again. Just before it comes, a prophet arises. What it does, it foreshadows the word. Who? The prophet. Foreshadows the word. Who's the word? Christ. Showing back here, revealing what's been done, what's been left off. See? Then when this fades out, like John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Then all in all comes into him. See? He is fully manifested through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost age, and on down, he is fully manifested, you see. He's coming down, just the manifestation. God unfolding. You see him? Now notice, fulfilled in his promises for this day as they had. See? Now, Moses was the word that day because the word was given to him for that day. Moses, Joseph was the word in his day, portraying Christ exactly. See? Each one of them was the word. And when Jesus come, he was the word in its fullness, because the whole plan of redemption laid in him. What was in him? The whole plan of redemption. The whole plan of redemption didn't lay in Moses. It didn't lay in Joseph. It didn't lay in Elijah. They were only part of the word, pointing to the word. See? Now notice, keep your thought. Here it comes. This is him talking. Keep your thought now. Here it comes. As I say, see? The whole plan wasn't in them. They were pointing to it. They were pointing to the fullness. See? Therefore, after him, the fullness, we cannot point to something else. It points back to him. That's where it goes. Don't point back to Pentecost. It don't back to the church ages. It don't point to none of that. It points back to him. He's the fullness. He's the complete. He's all of it in one. None of those prophets, they were all in part. But all of them were pointing to him. That's right. All of them. We cannot point to something else. It points back to him, the word. Praise God. And Brother Branham picks up his Bible. See? This is it. This is the complete revelation. Nothing can be added or taken away. He hasn't changed his mind yet, has he?
Right.
He hasn't changed his mind. This Bible is the complete revelation of God.
Amen.
It's all in here. Brother Branham said it's all in there. They just couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. You said, Brother, are you saying that the thunders were written in there? No, 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 no. The Bible says the thunders aren't written in there. No, you're not going to catch the elect on that one. The Bible says those seven thunders were not written in there. They were sealed up. The voice of God is saying that this is not something give to a man, because that would be adding to it and taking away. There, see, this is the complete revelation. Nothing can be added or taken away. There is the complete revelation. All that, a shadow of him to come. But when he come, he was the perfect. He was the perfect. He wasn't the impart. And when the perfect came, the impart was done away. And so when we look back, we didn't look back to Pentecost. We looked past Pentecost. We look past Pentecost twice. We look past Pentecost in the seventh age, and we look past Pentecost in the first age. We look all the way back, and we've seen the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We've seen the fullness of the manifestation of the Word in Christ Himself. He was all of it. And because He was all of it, you were there. Huh? Yeah, He couldn't be all of it if you weren't there. Praise be to God. That is the beauty of the whole thing. This manifestation today, this eternal life today, is not man-made. It's not theological. It is God Himself changing veils. He went from the veil of one man into the veil of many. Many veils, many veils. God has divided Himself up. The fullness now, not the impart, the fullness now divided up in many veils of flesh. He just changed His veil. He didn't change His nature. He didn't change His plan. He didn't change anything else. What He had in His mind before the foundation of the world, it's right on time. It's right. It's coming forth. It's being manifested right now in the elect. You say, Brother, I just don't feel like that I'm doing anything. I don't feel like I'm manifesting anything. Then don't you let Satan tell you, don't you repeat the lie.
Amen.
Because if Satan tells you you're not, don't repeat that.
Amen.
You go right in this message.
Yes, sir.
You go right in your Bible and you say what the Bible said.
Amen.
And the Bible said, you are that bride without spot or wrinkle. You are the manifestation of Jesus Christ in this last day. If it's not bubbling out of your heart, and in humility, it's hard to get that. It's a fine line. It's just a fine line. Sometimes we don't know how to say it. We're humble because we feel unworthy. That's where humility comes from to me, is we just feel unworthy. But we know, we believe what this voice of God spoke to us, and He said that this bride is perfect, that she has no sin, that she has never sinned, she never can sin.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Next time Satan tells you you're not doing something, you just tell him what you are.
Yes.
You're the vessel that God is manifesting Himself in.
Amen.
And don't bring none of His lies, don't bring none of His sin, because you cannot doubt this revelation. That's the one thing you got going that Satan can't touch. He can't touch it.
Amen.
You cannot sin because you cannot disbelieve the Word.
Amen.
Any problems you're having with the flesh, anything the mind is telling you, anything that Satan is bringing to you along the way, you just keep it in His place.
Yes, sir.
He's not going to take away the trials and troubles, all of that. No, no, no. But He's going to let you overcome it. And you're going to overcome it by what's down in here and by the Word. And that's what's down in there. It is the Word. That gene is the Word. There is the complete revelation. All that, a shadow of him to come. But when he come, he was the perfect. Hebrews 1, God in sundry times spoke to the fathers through the prophets. God spoke through the veils, the prophets. But in this last days, through his son, Jesus Christ. There you are. Unveiled out there on Calvary, the Son of God, unveiled. Notice, made alive. And today, when the word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the word fulfilled in the day. See? Which comes back to God. What is it? What are you? You are the manifestation of the word of God in this day. Ye are epistles that have been written. God wrote your life before the foundation of the world. Everything that you were to do, every day you were going to do it, every place, every where you were going to live, how you were going to be, what you were going to look like, what your temperament was, what your personality was, everything about you. God predestinated it just the way you are. If there's something in there that is not pleasing, he's going to move that out because his nature comes in there. His nature, that eternal life comes in there, which is that soul of God. Amen. See, being baptized into him, according to 1 Corinthians 12, we become identified with him. Amen. That's it right there. That's the baptism you cannot miss. You cannot miss it. And if you get it, you got him. Amen. You got him. He's got you. I said a half hour because I have just a little bit longer. That's where he's dropping down here. He talks about if you're an American citizen or if you're a Kenyan or if you're a Congo or you're an Indian or whatever you are. He said, you're identified. You're identified with your country as that being your birthplace. And he said, all of that country's shame, you bear it. All of that country's glory, you bear it. Yeah, because you're a part of it. You don't have any choice in it. Just like you don't have any choice in this. You just were born by the parents. You don't have any choice. Your mom and daddy, that was already predestinated. You cried out and there you were. And she fed you and they took care of you. And all of those things. And you grew up to be who you are. And then one day, you heard a voice. And you heard the voice, and you were no longer the son or daughter of your mother and father. But now, you were a son or daughter of God. Because you were born by God. And now, you're in that same bill of flesh that came by your mother. And so, whatever your country was, you have a new country now. You have a new father now. You have a new everything now. You've made a change. It's a new person that's living in here. Paragraph 290. I was with George Washington when he crossed the Delaware. I'm identified with him. See, amen. I'm an American. Oh, I was with the soldiers on Guam. You boys, when you hoisted the flag, see, I was there. I'm American. I'm identified with it. See, that's right. I remember when I was a little boy. I lived in California, and there's military bases all up and down the West Coast, and we lived on or near military bases for a lot of my youth because my father was in the military. And so, but I can remember we lived, and I'm trying to remember if it was Lemoore or it was Scott, but one of the bases, when you come in the gate, they had a picture of a half a dozen soldiers, and they were climbing up this hill, and they were planting the flag on that hill. And I always believed that it represented those soldiers on Guam when they were planting the flag there. It was a horrible fight. It was a great fight. And so it was a big thing when they were able to set the flag and declare the territory taken over. And so when God got a hold of this, amen, said if he could get that nature to agree with him, or that spirit, he said it both ways, doesn't matter to me, because when God calls you, it's not something that you're doing. When God calls you, then you're going to do what the Spirit is instructing you to do. And you say, well, no, you got to make that decision. Well, Balaam had every intention of cursing Israel. And he kept on and he kept on and he kept on. And he was going to, he wanted that money and he wanted that popularity and he wanted all of that. It was all the wrong motive and not wrong. And so he kept asking God. And then you think it would have settled when the donkey talked to him, the ass talked to him. But it didn't. He still wanted to go. So God said, you can go. You can go. He said, but you're not going to curse him. He still wanted to curse him. But when he tried to curse him, the words that come out of his mouth was blessings. O Israel, thou art trees as trees of lean aloes. And he just blessed them and blessed them. And Brother Branham said, those blessings right there continued down unto this day. The prophecy coming through a false prophet. Huh? Through a false, Balaam was one of the worst. He was one of the worst. Trying to mix that thing up. And that's what he did, mix them up. He did mix them up and he did cause many to fall. But God took over those lips. An unbeliever. Caiaphas has prophesied. How about our prophet? He prophesied too. And he brought us to this. 291. And as a Christian, I'm identified with him. Amen. I was with Noah when he was in the ark. I was with Moses when he come out of Egypt. Amen. I was with Elijah on Mount Carmel. Yes, sir. Glory to God. I was with him when he did that. I was truly with him. I identified myself in his death there on Calvary. When I died to the things of the world, to myself and all traditions, I was identified with him. I was identified with him on Easter morning when he rose from the dead. I was identified with him on the day of Pentecost. See? When the Holy Ghost came down like a rushing mighty wind. I was identified with him. All that he was, I am. Can we say amen to that? All that he was, I am. You're identified with everything that he is. All that I am, he was. Amen. Being dead in him, we are identified with him. What he is, I am. That's what you need to tell the devil. That's the devil. You just tell the devil that every time. All that he is, I am. When you feel down and out and you don't feel worthy, all that he is, I am. He said it.
Amen.
Is this flesh worthy? Never will be. All that he is, I am. There's no sin to the elect. No sin. I'm happy today to be one of them, being identified with the Word, see, which is Christ, identified with him, being baptized into him. We become identified in his likeness, identified with the Word, which he is. If I am in Christ, I am his Word, for he is the Word. And what he is, I am. Amen. Do you get it?
Amen.
I get it. I agree with it. I say amen to it. He's the Word, I'm the Word.
Amen.
He's the Word, I'm the Word.
Amen.
There's only one eternal life, it's him.
Yep.
It's me.
Amen.
We're the same.
That's right.
He's the eternal Word, I'm the eternal Word.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen, do you get it? The Word manifested or revealed in that revelation in there. Then what does that put me? Now, this is what I love here, because this is about 3 or 4 pages now from where we started, when the theologian was trying to trick him, and where he said, you can't add, you can't take away. You this isn't going to be some revelation give to some man, because that would be adding. Now, that's exactly what I always believed. I always believed that this revelation was give to the prophet and he brought it to the people. And now you heard with your own ears, Brother Branham said that would be adding. So it couldn't be like that. So if it couldn't be like that, then there has to be something else that it is. And that, whatever that something else is, we have to understand it. Just like I had a brother one time in the Philippines, and I set myself up for the laugh. But anyways, I told him, I said, I was in the message 20 years before I understood the Godhead. And this, and there was just a bunch of ministers, about maybe 20 ministers in the Philippines. And he just busted out laughing, and he just couldn't control himself. I probably would have done the same thing, except I'd been through it. And so the funny thing was, I said, you know, I said, when I was a young Christian, 21, I said, the first thing I found out is that there was one God, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, by that revelation, I thought I understood the Godhead. And I said, 20 years later, I found out that the prophet said, God is not one like your finger. I had for 20 years believed that God was one just like my finger. That's exactly how I saw it. He was one like my finger. And I seen that, and I said, there's something amiss. There's a little twist here somewhere, because I'm hearing everything that prophet's saying. He only believes in one God, and he knows the name. And so he comes right along, and he says, Jesus couldn't be his own father. And he said, like you oneness say. And that's when I realized that most message people are oneness, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. And when I said that, the guy, he stopped laughing. He got to think. When I told him, I said, God's not one like your finger. And you know what people, what a lot of people think that means is that Brother Branham used to be a Trinitarian, and now he's not a Trinitarian. Because they it goes right over their head. It goes right over their head. He was manifested in his Son. That's how he was manifested. The eternal God, the Father, the eternal Spirit, was manifested in a body of flesh, the Word. The eternal God, Elohim, came down in a veil of flesh.
Amen.
It's just a razor edge, isn't it? It's a razor edge. There's razors all over this message. This capstone revelation, it's a razor edge. It's a razor revelation. This. He's gonna bring it now. He's going to now tell the elect what he was hiding from that theologian. What he was hiding from the theologian, he's now going to reveal to the elect. The Word manifested or revealed in that revelation in there, then what does that put me? If he's that Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. See, amen. Oh, amen. That's right. The Word itself revealed reveals itself. Did you hear that? What does it? The Word reveals itself. It doesn't take a man. It doesn't take a man to do it. The Word reveals itself. Now, we know that God uses man, but it's not the man. So what this prophet is doing, he's hiding this. He's hiding it from them, and he's revealing it to the elect. He's put so perfect. It's so perfect, I tell you. You can read over it 100 times. You can read over your whole life unless God reveals it to you. The Word itself revealed reveals itself. Now think. Think. The mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Praise be to God. How is this thing done? By Brother Branham? No. By the same heavenly messenger. Now, he said the Bible is the complete revelation, and you can't add anything to it, and you can't take anything away from it. And now, it wasn't the seventh angel. Now it was the mighty angel. And now that's exactly what my Bible says. When I go to Revelation chapter 10, it says, another mighty angel came down from heaven and spoke those seven thunder mysteries. That's how it was revealed. It was the Word revealing the Word. So it wasn't the seventh angel. It wasn't a man. It was God himself. Was he speaking to a man? Yes, he was speaking to a man. He always speaks to man. But he was hiding it. He was hiding it and revealing it. Every bit of it. is in the Bible. What does the Bible say about those seven thunders? How they're revealed? Another mighty angel comes down and he speaks them. That's the Bible. It's the complete revelation. It's the perfect revelation. It's all right here. It's all being revealed. It's all coming exactly as the Bible said it would come. Perfectly. See? God, now think, the mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known in them days. Notice, the same pillar of fire, see, that sent Moses, the same pillar of fire that was on Moses that wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that Paul met on his road to Damascus. That's right. See, now dropping down and 299, and think of it now, the same pillar of fire that come upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here today interpreting the Bible. Amen. How we thank him for that. Praise be to God. That's the reason why that prophet could preach a message and then somebody come and say, Brother Branham, you said such and such. And in his mind, he says, I never said that. And they said, Brother Branham, you did say that. You know, Brother Branham said that he never said time would be no more. You go read this quote. I'm paraphrasing now. But you talk about when he's talking about the seals are open, time would be no more, all these things. He said it over and over and over and over and over again. And then they asked him the question. He said, no, I didn't say that. You misunderstood. That's the same thing about this. They're not understanding because it's a revelation. It's a because he's hiding it from them. You know that in the first 9 pages of this message, Unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, you know some things are said to throw them off. Is that what he said? Yes, you remember that quote. I mean, it's perfectly. Can you remember the first time you heard that? Did it not change your whole mind idea about the message of the hour? Did it not? I mean, you know the Bible talks about it and says things like that too. But when you read it that the prophet said it, didn't it not have a profound effect on your view and understanding of the message? It did me. It was major. It was major that God was saying things to cause them to go right out the door. Not try to stop them. Not try to convince them to stay. Not anything. No, it had to be said. He said, things are said in a way. Do you think that prophet was saying it in a way to make them go out? I don't think so. I think he was trying to say it in a way to make them stay. But God took him over and he couldn't help what he was saying. That was the problem. Same with Jesus. He said, I don't do anything till he shows me. He wasn't in control. The Spirit was in control. Praise be to God. The same, see, how we thank him. Same, what a comfort. What identification. See, I'm so glad to be identified in that. I don't know what to do. I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian and Lutheran, all the rest of them identified in that word where the Shekinah glory and revelation lies. Amen. Praise be to God. So just let me take that back just 1 minute here. Okay, paragraph 295, because we were talking about Satan trying to get you down. This, I want you to put this one in your arsenal. The word manifested or revealed in that revelation in there. Then what does that put me? What does that put you, bride? What does that put you? If he is that Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. Amen. Oh, amen. That's right. The word itself revealed reveals itself. If he is the Shekinah glory, then you are the Shekinah glory. You are a part of the presence of God. That's what you are. That's what he's saying. That whatever he is, that's what you are. And Brother Branham said when he would come, he said those people in the prayer line, they would know he was there. They would feel his presence. And as this word is ripening, as we lay in the presence of the Son, this word is ripening and it's getting greater and it's getting greater. It's the presence of God living in the bride, manifesting in the bride. And it comes to that place where when people come in your presence, they feel the presence of God. They know that God is with you. Some of them may hate you and they'll call you the devil. That's okay. There's those people that have to do that. But there's others that they're watching you from a distance because they know God's doing something with you. They know something's going on in your life. They can cry when they talk to you. They feel the presence of God in your life so strong that it humbles them, that they surrender in your presence because they know God's there and they want it and they just haven't been able to get free yet. God will get His. He'll get every one of His. However, somehow God will get every one of His, but He's doing it through His bride because the only way you'll see God today is in her. That's right. You can be sure of it. I love that. So the same pillar of fire. See, we read 299, right? And let's read 300 here, and we're fixing to quit. I wanted to get that. So, huh? Oh, thank you. Brother Branham said he kept on saying, "You listen to the message." Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And he'd preach an hour and he'd say, "You want me to go on? You want me to go on?" They'd scream out. And then he'd preach another hour and he'd say, "Should I stop or should I go on?" And they'd scream out, "Just keep going, keep going." He'd preach another hour and say, "Should I stop or should I go?" He said, "I just got about 20 more pages." And sometimes it got a little bit weaker than in the first time. The first hour, they were like, "Yeah, I don't know, go, go, go." And the last, you could tell some of them were getting tired. But they still wanted him to go, though, and they were thanking God. And he told them there somewhere, he said, "It might be next summer before I get back." So that was to entice them, say, you know, this is your last one for a little while. So there were some people that just loved. They loved that prophet. They loved to hear him speak. And so it's real food for us today. The pillar of fire appearing visibly among us, identifying that the message is right. Like he did at Mount Sinai. Remember, before the true message come forth, something happens before the true message. What happens before the true message? See, Moses preached and led them out of Egypt. That's what the seventh angel did, right? "Come out of her, my people." That's what he cried. There, see, before the real commandments was laid down, the seals was brought in. Praise be to God. See, the type of the same thing. The same thing happened today. Brother Branham said all the Bible was revealed. See, those six seals was revealed. And then come those seven thunder mysteries. Then's when the real revelation comes. Then's where the real thing happened. See, God, the seals was brought in. God come down before the people and proved that Moses was sent from him. Well, you know, Brother Bram says this a lot because he's trying to get the people to recognize what God's doing, that God's vindicating the voice. And if God can vindicate the voice, then you're going to recognize the presence of God. You're going to know that everything comes out of this mouth is God speaking. You're not going to be dividing up and say, "Well, Brother Bram said this. Let me go see what Paul said. Let me go see what this one said. Let me go see what that one said." No, that's Brother Goomba said the other day. It might not even be in the Bible. Might not even be in the Bible. You say, "Well, what did Brother Branham say?" He said, you can't add or take away. Uh-uh. See? That's the revelation. That's the revelation. The revelation is that another mighty angel come down and began to speak. And that God, even before the mighty angel came, God was in the vessel speaking forth the revelation, interpreting the word for that day. And then when that day got done, then the seals opened and then the real revelation of all of it. From Genesis to Revelation, then it opened up and praise be to God. He called his wife, he called her and he sealed her and he's just making love to her. He's just making love to her. See, God come down before the people and prove that Moses was sent from God. That's right. In a pillar of fire that Moses said he had seen in a brush and talked to him. See, oh, in this last days, we see that same pillar of fire right among us. speaking the same word. Not only that, but interpreting it by making it manifest, proving that it's the truth. So the people has not one way to disbelieve, lest they just willfully want to. See, he that sins willfully, after having a knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That's right. Oh, God. Paragraph 306. Now breaking, I'm going to close just a few minutes, but let's get a couple more. Now breaking into this veil, through the veil, into his presence, where the word is, not the creed, the word. Breaking through the veil into where the word is. Huh? Yeah. The word in there, seeing the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah, the power, the Holy Spirit shining upon the word, bringing forth the promise, shows that you're behind the veil. See? Oh, well, I can't remember the message. Brother Branham said, you've crossed over. You're behind the veil. I don't know if it was one of these two on the unveiling or if it was in either Easter Seal or It's the Rising of the Sun. One of those. He said, you've crossed. You're behind the veil. He said, I've crossed the riven veils where glory never fails. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm living in the presence of the King. Brother, sister, that's where we are. Amen. That's where we are. We're in the presence of the King. Oh, my. And we're going to stop right there. And that's where we want to get to. I there's another message behind there in Invisible Union, but it actually goes with the other quotes that I have. And that was, I just put it here. Usually you'll find I'll have extra quotes there because I'm always afraid. I'm just as afraid of getting done too early as I am going so long, Brother Goomba. So that's why sometimes my quotes will be so long. And sometimes there's enough there for two messages because I'm afraid if I get done early, then I don't want to do that. I don't want to cheat you. And but anyways, God is good. But I feel like sometimes we worry about time needlessly, and we shouldn't. We should just have one thing, and that's just let Him lead and guide and tell us when to start and when to stop. And I've always been a stickler for being on time. And Brother Holmes, I've always felt like if I was there before, if we say we're going to meet somewhere at 10, I remember one time we were going for breakfast and meeting the brothers up at Midway Lake at the restaurant up there. One Saturday we were going to work at Brother TB's house. And he, we said, okay, we're going to meet there at, I don't know, maybe it was 6:30, something like that, 7 o'clock. Maybe we'll say 7 o'clock. Can't remember. And so, matter of fact, Brother Michael's dad rode with Brother Holmes. Well, I had an old Ford station wagon, and I was picking up about five brothers, and we had a full house and had a flat tire. And so we had a flat tire, and so we stopped, and we got it fixed. And so, you know, I was just rushing, trying to get up there. And we were still like, 5 or 10 minutes early. So I would have been 20 minutes early at least. And so they were gone. And so Brother Hendershot had kept telling Brother Holmes, he said, no, they're coming. They'll be. And he said, no, brother, if they were going to be here, they'd be here by now. So everybody's idea is different. I'm going to be 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes or whatever, but my goal is to be there before it strikes the number. And so some people, they have the same mindset, but it's going to be exactly the other side of the goal. It's going to be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. I've seen it, and it's just that's just the makeup of some people. That's the way they're going to do. And so, but Brother Holmes, he could be an hour early, and he could sit there until 30 minutes before. And if you weren't there, he might leave because you're late. And so, but it's a difference in another generation. See, he was in another generation, and so. I was in another generation. I always got to work about 15 minutes early. I think Brother Michael said he gets there at least 30 minutes or an hour, something like that. He's early every morning. And so I don't say something, and I don't know where I was going with this anyways. But now I've got twisted up until I'm not even sure how I got on this subject, because it's something I try not to touch, you know. And a lot of times, sometimes people are working, they have different things that makes them be late and stuff, and so and I can remember when we started on the mission field in India, and Brother Benjamin's listening and he knows, and you could set the time for 7 in the evening and it'd be 9 o'clock I'd start preaching. I literally sat in a chair and was sleeping, because that time of the evening is when I was falling asleep. And it's not perfectly on my sleep time here, but it's just, I would just be ready to crash. And literally many times they would have to come wake me up. But it's always been, when I'm there, it always has been that there's no rest. Brother Benjamin could do 3 to 5 services a day, 7 days a week. When we traveled, it was just constant. There was never a break, but it was never on time. It was never on time. And so sometimes it got a little bit better, but it was always frustrating to me, because I've got my mind set, you know, and you're ready. You want to start preaching. It's like, okay, this is the time. And but many times I've started messages at 9 o'clock at night and go to 10 or 11 o'clock. And I would stop early because, you know, in my mind, you know, it's 10 o'clock. I'm thinking American. Okay. People are going to work. People are doing this. But in those countries, they get up whenever, or they sleep. And like, they might get up at daylight, 4 or 5 o'clock, and they carry the water. They do all of that hard labor in the morning. One time I was walking, I got up around 5 in the morning at Moringa, and I just walked down the trail going to where they call the river is. It's a little spring. And I'd come up, I'd hear pounding. And I'd ease up, and I'd just walk in. And it's the back of people's properties, you know. It's just all open. And there'd be somebody out there in the garden working, hoeing, breaking the ground. And I'm thinking, they come out there because it's hot. It gets hot. And so they might work from 4 or 5 in the morning till noon. And then they can sleep in the afternoon or do whatever, just chill, you know. And so it's a different, whole different life. You're on a different time. And so you go there and you think, you know, this is all messed up. Well, they come here and they think it's all messed up. You know, I can remember Paul Mwangi coming, and he worked on one end of the factory and said you get a 15-minute break. And said there would be this horn that'll ring. And said when that horn rings, said he had to walk all the way to the other end of the building. Said the time he got down there and he went to the bathroom, it was time to start walking back. Said he didn't have 15 minutes. And he said it was a 5-minute walk. And so he couldn't understand. And he had worked for the government in Kenya. And so, you know, life was pretty, pretty slow. And so I can remember complaining. We used to complain to Brother Benjamin, and a poor guy. He went through a lot. And so, but sometimes, you know, I think you should be on time, but you're on time for your job and you're on time for other stuff. But at the same time, the thing I'm concerned about is that our life is in line. That's the thing. That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. And when I see that life that Christ is living through you, then you don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to, Brother Branham said, you don't have to be like no man. No, you don't. Just let Christ take over. Just let Christ take over. Amen. I don't know how I got out there, but I want to get... I try not to get on that stuff, Brother Goomba. I usually get you in a mess. So, anyway, do you love him? Amen. Amen. He's so good. He's so great. He's so wonderful, and we're so blessed. And when he says things to throw people off, he takes us in the little room, and he reveals to us what the real truth of it is. And he, you know, when the scripture said that Jesus spoke without a parable, he spake not unto them. And that's the truth. But those disciples, just like your children, they come I don't know how many times they come and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And that's exactly what they did with Jesus. And he would take them aside, and he would begin to reveal to them exactly what he taught and exactly what he was hiding from them. He was hiding it from them and revealing it to babes that could learn. And that's why we're so blessed. When you read this message, God lifts a veil that you see something that other people don't see. That's you. That's you. And that's another thing you can tell the devil when he makes you feel down. To say, Satan, when I read this message, I see things that you don't see. Amen. God has revealed to me things that you can't see. If you had known Jesus was the Christ, you wouldn't have done what you've done. If you had known what this prophet was, if you had known that what happened on sunset, if you had known, you'd have did things different. And you're trying to deceive the people now in it, but it's too late. I already got it. It's already living in me. It's already happening. Praise be to God. Amen. Brother Gumbo, will you come? And praise be to God. We love him. We thank him and praise him. We just appreciate the day and the week. And let us continue to pray one for another. And God will just have his way. Amen. It's good to see Brother Gumbo. We thought he was going to be working today. And we thank God. Amen.
I'm really happy for being here. I can see the things that I miss when I don't come on Sunday. So I'm very, very happy that I was able to come today. Thank you very much for the sermon. I just see the usual thing that it was a great thing. It was a great sermon. I don't know why he stopped. I wanted him to continue. I really wanted him to continue. I'm serious. I really wanted him to continue. I didn't want him to stop. and I'm sorry that I encouraged him to go on. I'm sorry about that. But I really wanted him to. It is nice. It's coming very, very good. And Brother Don, sometimes we have ways of saying, but I would want one more thing that we can tell the devil. Because those things are very good. Tell him that I'm the Son of God and there's nothing, I'm not a sinner and nothing. That's great, brother. But another thing is, I usually tell him, is, when he points to my weaknesses and things like that, is this far I've come, he's taken so much out of what I was. And I'm sure he's responsible. It's not me who did it.
Amen.
I can tell him that. It's not me who did it. The way I've come all that long, he's taken very many things that I had in my flesh. And they're just taken one by one, being dumped away.
Amen.
The other thing that Satan you see on me, mm-hmm. he's responsible. He's going to do it. Yeah. He's going to do it. He's going to take one time, I'll just be like Enoch, that this world cannot hold me anymore.
Amen.
But that's right. And It's so great, and I really love it, Brother Don. I did love it. You talked about something about that if we just bring it as simple as this, he's saying it. Well, it's just good. It's, the bride will get it, and you say something about bringing us, with intellect. Sometimes we bring words, brother. We bring words, our words. That are so high, and sometimes you've got to go there and not even study the message, but study the words, because every word that is connected with this, you've got to go to back maybe to the dictionary. that's good. And I, Brother Don, as we said, we really admire those people, because I'm not one of them, Brother Don. I'm not intellectual. I've not learned that. I don't know books. I don't have nothing. Sometimes I go to study with my dictionary. I've got to go back and look at this and look at this. So what does this really mean? But if you bring it simple, very simple. God is simple. And you know what, Brother John? All those people, you look at like Elijah. For the prophet says, you see Elijah? The prophet says, we even don't know where he come from. He was just a normal man like that. He just come from nowhere and we see him. And he's taken up. That's how. And then we see John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. He was in the woods. He didn't even know nothing. I mean, he was, the only thing was nature, the snake and things like that. That's how he was talking. That's all he knew. He didn't go to education. He didn't become nothing. He was not even a priest in the church. He wasn't. He was in the bushes. That's the kind of man. No education, no nothing. Then you come to Paul. When Paul came, he had all the intellect. Let's start with Moses. He had all the intellect. He knew it. He had education. Moses had education. But God said, I can't use that. With all your good language and things and know-how, I can't use that. Then he dropped him into a place where he was taking care of sheep. From maybe a university lecturer, he is brought down to where he's in the bushes. I mean,
amen.
He had to take Paul to the desert of Arabia, where there's nothing. And there he stayed for 3 years. The promise is to take all that intellect. Brother, this is very simple. This is very simple. This is very, very simple. It's for the simplest. It's for that way, the great and the small can come together here. And they just can see it as simple. As simple as that. And that's why he's so good. He doesn't need anything with me. I mean, in me. He's able to take care of everything. Amen. That's how we can trust him. I mean, he's so good, Brother Don. And it's very, some of the quotes that that we had here are very touchy, especially how he brings the brother. And really love it. Let me get there. Let me stop there because I thought I had someone. After you preach it, I thought I had someone. I can preach that, brother, now. I mean, I had someone from your sermon. I can preach it.
Amen.
And it's great. It's great. It's so good. And let's continue loving one another. Let's continue loving one another. Let's continue being one. You know, when you think about, you know, like Brother Don talked about the Godhead, about being three gods. I think somebody now can see very many gods, not only three, there are very many gods. There's God called Michael, there's God called Don, you know, there's all these gods. If that is the idea that we're going to go with, three gods, there are very many gods now. But we don't have those gods. We have only one God that is in the bride.
Amen.
And the prophet said, the bride are not two. The bride has, there are very many members, but they are one.
Amen.
If you have, you are one. Sister, I'm one with you. You are one with me. We are all one in Christ.
Amen.
God has one bride, and that is her. Not many. Not 1, 2, 3, 4. Not 1,000. We are all one. It's
Amen.
One bride. Love one another above everything. The prophet dedicated about maybe a whole page or two when he preached Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, above everything, don't you miss this? And that was when he was bringing the seven seal. That was how, and so when he was revealing that he's here, he's come, he's here, and that is what, this is what he wanted to do when he came. This is what he's going to do when he comes. When he was revealing that, he said, above everything, love one another. Be one at a time in reality. And you talked about, I don't know, let me stop. Did you know that that's scary a bit, rather, because the prophet said about. You know, they come to him after he talked about, he said that in parable, without parable, he didn't talk to them. So he used parable, sorry, that's what it means. And then he talked, even the disciples, that's why sometimes we even don't understand ourselves, understanding, getting what he's saying. You read a quote, you don't get it. That's possible. That's all right. That's okay. But he said, there was something in them. And that is the most important thing. There's something in them that wants to know. Because I know he's talking to me, I didn't get it. The difference between us and them is they don't care.
Yeah.
The whole group went away.
Amen.
But this group went and asked, Jesus, why do you speak in the parables? That's the first question. And he explains, because there are some people, like those who went away, they were not supposed to understand. But you are given,
amen.
That is the thing. You are given to understand. And Jesus, we also didn't understand. You are saying that you are given to understand. We didn't understand. No, that's what I mean. I mean, that's why you're coming. That's why you're coming to seek understanding. That's why you're coming to know, because it's yours. To the rest of them, it didn't belong to them, so they didn't care. That's the difference. You have something that wants to know. You want to know. That's why you go back to him. That's why you need, Father, I don't understand this. There's nothing I can do. I cannot go to study nothing. Studying is good. Praying is good. But until you reveal it, it's not revealed. I don't know it. Let me stay there. Brother Don, in that book, I'm reading of God, he dedicates about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses, five paragraphs, telling you that it's hidden from them. Purposely. And he says, purposely, it's hidden from them. That's why Brother Don, when he finished here, he said about the devil. The devil, you tell him that the seventh seal is revealed, he's come. And you prove to him, you just read it to him, to the devil himself. And finally, he will ask you, after you, all you've done, he's going to ask you, where is he? That's a question. And there's nothing you can do, because you cannot point him. You cannot point him. He wants everybody. That's what the churches want, somebody that can start there. And I was giving an example to somebody. They thought that Jesus Christ would come, and a table would be laid from here to Kenya. And Paul, that's a mentality. And Paul will start there with his people. Maybe I don't know where. And from there, Irenaeus, with his people. And we'll go around, we come to America, and we'll go around, and Jesus Christ will be there. That's the same idea, because that's the scripture that he reads without revelation. Where is he? Where is that table? Where is he? It's something else. It's something else. And only person who can understand this is him and the bride. The bride and him, those are the only people who knows. And you don't need to explain nothing. When he reviews it, I don't even have words to say it. I don't have words. But I know it. I know it. Something has happened. I cannot explain it. I don't know what has happened, but I don't have words to say it's here. Where? It's here. It's somewhere. It's somewhere here. I cannot say now. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say it. But it's here. I know he's talking to me. What did he say? I know it. Praise be to God. You cannot explain it, brother. It's here. He's done it. But remember the scriptures. He was to come as a thief. Amen. Nobody will know it except him, except the one that he's coming for. That's exactly right. And we know it. We know it. We know it. We don't look like we know it. We don't look like we are her, because we're just like Israel, Brother Don. And I'm not preaching. I think I'm going too much. But you remember Israel? Israel looked around and asked Jesus, and asked, that's a question in Malachi. What is the difference between us and them? What is the difference, Senator? What is the difference? We work. Yeah, we work. We go to work. We suffer. We get sick. Sometimes we are not healed. Yes, sir. You think every time that I get sick, yeah, I might die. Some of us have died. No problem. We look exactly like the world, like the other. That's how Israel looked at it. And they asked God, why do you say you love us? Why do you say that? You know, we don't think you love us. We're just like, what is the difference? He said, this is the difference of my love. Because I've chosen you.
Amen.
To be a special people.
Praise God.
Not only that, I've taken myself and come to you. That body that you see is quickened. I've quickened it. I've quickened you from inside out. The body, the cells, everything is just like any other person here. But you are different. It doesn't look him, because the blood flows. When you get sick, you go to the same doctors. The same blood is put, just like anybody else. But you are different. You are different. You are different. That's the thing. That's the thing. Let's pray. I'm sorry for preaching. But brother, that's inspiration. That's great. We are. there is a special people living on the face of the earth. Completely different. Same blood, same body, same everything, but completely Messiahs, Jesuses. People that are completely God. Complete God. God is completely living here on earth. Complete God is living here on earth. It's never happened, but now, let's pray. Father, we don't know sometimes how to thank you. Because saying thank you is not enough, Lord. Seeing what you've done is just something that you did that we don't have nothing to do with it, Father. From the beginning, you chose us. You come along, Lord God, to make sure that we come the right way, the right person, the right body that you wanted. All along, Lord, it's been you doing it. You placed us where you wanted us to be. You made us meet what people you wanted us to meet to bring what is right to us, Lord God. In everything, Father, it's you. It's been you and you and you. None of anybody has done nothing, Lord. Father, therefore, when we come to say thank you, Lord, that's not enough. To say thank you, that word does not say it, Lord. It's more than that. The great things, Lord God, you've done. Father, the only thing that now, when we come to that realization, what you're doing and what you are to us and what we are to you, Lord, the only thing, Lord God, that we urge you to do is to make us, Father, give ourselves in whole, Lord, our thinking, Lord, our desires, Lord, our whatsoever, Father, that is in us, Lord, everything subject to you, Father. That's our desire. We desire that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Because even when we didn't know, Lord, what you're doing, Lord, when you were fighting you, because at one point in our lives, we were fighting you. We were fighting this, Lord. You brought us, Father, and Lord God, you conquered all that and has brought us this. We, therefore, Father, are so thankful. And now we trust you. We trust you so much that, Father, your love cannot let us go it wrong. Take us. Take us, Lord. Take our hearts, Father, and you follow. We surrender. We surrender everything that we are, Lord God. Lord, go to you. Help us, Father, to be that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.